First Peter chapter 3. We're finally leaving chapter 2 and progressing forward. For the next 3 weeks, Lord willing, we'll be looking at this passage and these verses 1 through 6, tentatively under the subjects, the purpose of Christian wives, the beauty of Christian wives, and the dignity of Christian wives. We'll consider the first two verses this morning, but I'll read all seven verses here. And if you are interested in following along and taking notes with an outline, there is one on the back of your bulletin. So please give your attention to the reading of God's holy word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Would you pray briefly with me for the blessing of God's word? Our Father in heaven, we ask that your Spirit, who gave us your word, would illuminate it to us, that we might understand it truly, and understand it not only intellectually, but let it change our hearts, the way we think and feel and live. We ask that you would continue to do that work of sanctification that Christ accomplished on the cross in our lives, that we may be more like him, that we might glorify you more in all that we do, and give us soft hearts for the difficult teaching and subjects that you bring before us to consider and to accept and apply in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 3 of this letter, the Apostle Peter has turned from the social relationships of governments and citizens and employers and employees, and he begins to focus on the institution of marriage. And the reason is that Christ, Jesus Christ, also transforms our marriages as he does our governments, our employers, our church. Peter begins here teaching, as he talks about marriage, he begins by teaching wives how to glorify him, God, in marriage. And his instruction is simple. The same words are used elsewhere. Wives, submit to your husbands. Now, most women in our liberated society find this duty rather offensive and oppressive and belittling, but the Bible teaches that submission is really the wonderful calling of the Christian wife. It's not some sort of oppressive burden. And we need to see that this call to submission is a great purpose that God gives to wives, a purpose filled with dignity and beauty. The world seems, though, to teach that women must take charge to be influential. But what we find is that Christ uses the woman who quietly submits to her husband as a positive influence. There are in marriages often many problems. You find it in young marriages and you find it in old marriages. And there are a couple ways to approach those problems in those relationships between husband and wife. And from the wife's perspective, she could take the Bruce Willis approach, fighting fire with fire. And you can just bow up and put your gloves on and begin to fix the problem yourself by fixing your husband. But then there's the biblical approach that we find in the scriptures, wherein Christ calls wives to win your husband's hearts with submission, to win them without a word. And that approach is the approach of faith. To take these instructions and these commands from Christ and apply them to your lives and in your marriage is really to trust Christ to fix your problem. Trust Christ to bring unity and peace and joy and prosperity to your marriage rather than fighting fire with fire, trying to fix your problem even if you die or you kill your marriage in the process. One of the greatest examples of this wisdom that I know of in history is a woman named Monica of Hippo. Monica of Hippo. Monica is notable in Christian, in the history of the church as a woman who faithfully prayed for her son's conversion until he was well into his adult years. And then the Lord answered her prayer and converted him. And you know, her son, his name is Saint Augustine. Augustine of Hippo, the bishop in North Africa. Augustine was a champion of the gospel in the 4th century after Christ. And actually, Augustine influenced the Protestant Reformation more than 1,000 years before it happened. And this quiet woman named Monica was used by God to influence her son. When Augustine wrote his confessions, he reserved a chapter of them, of this book, to write about his mother. And we see what stood out in his heart as he observed her life. He wrote that she won her abusive, her pagan husband to Christ, as Peter described in our text. Augustine wrote of Monica as she, of her approach to living with her husband, as her the testimony of her faith to the Lord in the calling and purpose he gave to her in her marriage. Augustine wrote, "And Monica busied herself to gain her husband to Christ, preaching Christ unto him by her behavior, by which the Lord made the fair and reverently amiable and admirable unto her husband." And so this morning, we're going to consider the purpose of the Christian wife, the wonderful person purpose that the Lord gives to her. We're going to look at it in 2 points. First, submitting to husbands, and second, winning husbands. Peter says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." And we must admit that submission to husbands could be easier if we define submission the way we want. And very often that is what happens. Even in evangelical ministries and teaching, sometimes that's what happens. Submission is redefined to something that's easier and more palatable for the woman to bear. But you see, as God's royal priesthood, as people who are part of his holy nation and who are a people for his own possession, we must ask him to define submission for us. And as we look in verse 1 of chapter 3, we find that the Bible defines submission. And we find 4 truths about the biblical submission that Christ calls wives to demonstrate. And first, What we learn here is that submission means obeying with sincerity. If you want to fill in the blanks, I just gave you a hint. Submission means obeying with sincerity. In the Bible, if you were to do a study on submission and everywhere the Bible teaches about submission and lets Scripture interpret Scripture, we will find that submission always implies a relationship to an authority. Children must obey their parents as Christ did. They must submit to them. Citizens must obey their authorities. Employees obey their employers. We've considered these things in the past few weeks. As we look to 1 Corinthians 15 and Ephesians 1, we find that Paul wrote that all things in heaven and on earth are subject to obey Christ. In Ephesians 5, even the church is subject to Christ. And then what we find is that this relationship even extends to our Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15:28, Paul wrote that even Christ is subject to God the Father. And as you look through the Scripture and you read what the Spirit of God reveals to us about the relationship between in these authorities, we find that God never reverses the roles, not even in marriage. And He commands wives to yield to the authority of their husbands. That is submission. Christ established husbands as the head of the wife. We learn this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Therefore, wives are obligated to honor the authority that Christ has given to their husbands. The Christian wives, by submission, demonstrate your love for Christ. Submission means obeying with sincerity. But consider a few more qualifications about submission. We need to say more about it, and I think we find some details here. First, we need to note that submission never implies that a wife is inferior to her husband, or to say it another way, it never implies that a wife is less important than he is. And really, every time that the Lord calls us to submit to some authority or superior that he's placed over us, we always struggle, and we tend to think that that means that we are less important. We have somehow a less value than that person we're supposed to acknowledge or yield to. But you see, wives are not inferior to their husbands. Actually, when you go back to the very beginning of the Word of God in Genesis chapter 1, you learn that God created man. He created humans in His image. And He said, male and female, He created them. So what this reveals is that wives share the dignity of bearing the image of God along with their husbands. And submission, and this command to submit, doesn't take that dignity and that equality away. And even in our passage here, just a few verses later, in verse 7, Peter makes sure that husbands understand this truth. And I think he does it because we easily forget it in our sin. He instructs us to honor our wives because they are joint heirs with us of the grace of life. You see, husbands and wives are both equal objects of God's love. We are both equal recipients of His grace. And so, wives, women, don't let anyone teach you that you are less important than your husband because of this command to submit to him. It's a lie. And husbands, don't ever think that you're greater than your wives just because Christ has given you a function of authority in the marriage. Well, a second qualification is this, that submission to a husband goes beyond obeying commands. I think when we talk about submission, the very first thing that comes to mind is, you know, a husband says, we're going to do this, and a wife says, okay, I'll obey you and I'll yield to you, even though maybe it's not what I want to do, but I will want to do it because Christ says that. You see, submission it goes beyond just those moments when a husband leads and the wife submits and obeys. Your husband and wife are united together in a covenant of marriage. And each spouse should desire to serve each other out of love. And what we find in marriage, and I think what the Lord intended for marriage, is that husbands and wives work together. God gave the creation mandate to Adam and Eve. He gave them to that first family that they would go and multiply and be fruitful and subdue all the earth. And they had to do it together. And we need to realize, if you don't, that wives have an important voice in marriage. And only the foolish husband would ignore the wisdom of his wife. But still, wives, when you work with your husbands, you need an attitude of submission. You need an attitude wherein you desire, as you do research and you offer suggestions, or maybe you challenge him to consider other options. You need to bring all that the Lord has given you with the purpose of helping your husband and equipping your husband to lead. And you need an attitude to trust Christ to give your husband wisdom to make the best decisions. And you need to bring all your knowledge, all your ability to family life as the helpmate of your husband. But you must honor your husband's responsibility to Christ. Submission is way more than just obeying commands. It's a whole attitude. It includes how you work with your husband, how you bring the great gifts and blessings to him of your experience, your intellect, your judgment. But you need to trust in all of that with a posture, and have a posture that trusts Christ to work through him and to care for you through him, through your husband. And third, a question that comes up, we always want to find exceptions. And so we need to know that wives are not required to obey your husband when he commands you to sin. You do not have to yield to the pressure for whatever sin, whether it be sexual sin, corrupt business practice, lying, or however else your husband may lead you in sin. Peter began this whole section of his letter that has to do with submission. He began in verse 13 by writing, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution," and that includes the institution of marriage. Christ is our Lord first. Christ is even the Lord of the wife before the husband, and he protects you from being led into sin and rebellion. Remember that you're to obey Christ first. So that's a quick definition of submission. It means obeying with sincerity. And it requires that women come to understand the calling that Christ has given to you. And because of that calling, that love for Christ and the love that he gives you for your husband, you obey him, you yield to him, and you trust Christ in every aspect of your life and marriage. Well, let's consider our second subpoint. And recognize that submission is very hard. When the Lord calls you to yield to the authority of someone else, you are placed in a vulnerable situation, and it really may be scary. But even more than scary, it's frustrating, because we want to be in control. We don't naturally want to submit to the will of others. And so Peter spoke to our hearts, addressing this fear, this difficulty. And he began this command by writing, "Likewise, wives, submit to your own husbands." This transitional word, "likewise," refers to the whole pattern of life that Peter's been describing for the Christian that began in the beginning of chapter 2. In verses 21 through 25, we find the central motivation and pattern for every Christian in society. It was the motivating pattern for the citizen and for the employer, and now it's the motivating pattern for the wife. Wives have the same examples as employers, as citizens, as husbands, and really as every citizen in Christ's kingdom. Wives must submit to their husbands according to the example of Christ. You see, Christ is the chief and ultimate archetypal example of submission. He subjected himself to taking on human nature for our salvation. He submitted quietly without sin to the cursing and to the torture at the hand of the Jews and Romans, although he was their God and king. And through it all, Christ entrusted himself to God our Father. He entrusted himself with obedience even to the point of death on the cross. And so, wives, you must look to no one else other than Christ's submission as your example. And that means you can give your fears and you can give your weakness over to the Lord so that you may give yourself to obey your husband. Christ entrusted his soul to the Father. And so you must also. And this faith, this trusting ourselves to the care of the Father becomes real when you have to yield to the authority of someone else, even especially someone who's a fallen, sinful man. Paul wrote that Christ did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Remember what he's saying. He's talking about the incarnation of Christ and the willingness of Christ to set aside his glory, his pre-incarnate glory in heaven, and take on the nature of his creature to serve us. But instead, he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant, obedient to his Father, taking on the nature of man that he might go to the cross for us. Ed Clowney wrote, thinking about this, the implications of what Christ has done and thinking about the implication of Christ as our example. And he said, Christians don't grasp for privileges because we already have privileges beyond imagination. If Miriam and Aaron had already understood that, we would not have Numbers chapter 12. I mean, they had an even cooler estate in Israel. Aaron was the high priest. Miriam was a prophetess. We need to realize that when we come to understand the great privileges that we have, we should not be longing to grasp for authority, a grasp for other privileges. We should be thankful for what the Lord has done in us, for who we are, because we already bear the title of sons of God. We already bear the title of joint heirs with Christ, and so we must imitate Christ, and that applies to all of us. In every circumstance that Christ has placed us, in every relationship that he has placed us, and here Peter applies that to wives. Christian wives, really as every wife, must imitate Christ by giving yourselves in willing obedience, willing submission to your husband, because that is the example of Christ. Next, notice a little detail that Peter included in this command. Let me read it again and see if you can hear it. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Be subject to your own husbands. In other words, Christ commands women to submit to your own husbands and not to every man alive. Peter emphasizes here, as he says, as he calls you to submit to your own husband, he emphasizes the relationship between wife and husband. And the wife whose heart is softened, she must hear this. And as the duty God calls to give to that one she loves, who has been united together with her in that covenant. And it should win her heart, no matter how hardened it may be to resist this humility that Christ calls us to. Submission to your own husband, it serves him. It blesses him abundantly. It's an expression of your love for him. But there's another implication here when Christ says, and through Peter, submit to your own husband. In human society, I think throughout all of history, there has been a temptation to make every woman submit to men in general. But notice that Peter liberates women from this oppression by calling you to obey your own husband. And that should be a comfort because it narrows down your duty and responsibility. And you should find comfort there. But men, I think, need to hear this message possibly more than wives. We need to remember the dignity that God has given to women as image bearers. Men and women are equal in the sight of God. And so unless Christ has given you some specific office and authority over a woman, she has no obligation to submit to you. And I think history uncovers the sinful hearts of men and has uncovered it through the centuries where we have missed this point. Submit to your own husband. Christ is not calling you to submit to every man. And fourth, I want you to consider that submission is your obligation, not your husband's reward. Submission is your obligation and not your husband's reward. This concept will soften your heart and it really will change your marriage. Peter acknowledges that submission is easier for some women than others. Some husbands seek to imitate Christ in loving their wives, but other men may not deserve your submission. And actually, we may look on objectively and say, you're right. He doesn't deserve it. And the question is, have you ever said, okay, I'll submit to him when he gets his act together? Or think, this man doesn't deserve it at all. The Bible teaches wives, as we have seen in every other role in Christian society, that submission is your obligation. It's not your husband's reward. In other words, submit to him because you desire to obey Christ. It's a sin against God to withhold submission until your husband matures or gets his act together. And as I've talked to young married couples, I think this is a problem because women who marry in their mid-20s marry mid-20s men and they are by definition lame. And I can say that because I was in my mid-20s. And I think at least one person has acknowledged that I'm correct. And so it's hard for a young woman to submit to a young, irresponsible man. But the wrong thing to do is to fight fire with fire. The wrong thing to do is hold out that duty God gave you until he grows up. All you will do is provide fuel to the problem and disunity and lack of peace in your marriage. But rather, if you would submit to him, even though he doesn't deserve it, submit to him because of your love for Christ, Christ will transform your marriage. You see, you must submit for Christ's sake and not because your husband deserves it. You just cannot hold that carrot out in front of him. That's in direct disobedience to God's will for you. Now, husbands, we need to hear this message too. The implication here that we must not forget is that we can make it very hard for our wives to submit to us. When we don't lead spiritually, they get frustrated. Our wives, you know, they may be smarter than you, way smarter, like my wife is. They may maybe even
understand the scriptures more, but what they want is you to lead them spiritually. And when you don't, it frustrates them. It makes it hard for them to submit. Furthermore, when we're lazy, when we're irresponsible, when we're rude and mean and rough with our wives, it's hard for them to respect us. It's hard for them to honor Christ by obeying us. And in a sense, what we do, we place a stumbling block. We place a temptation before them by our own behavior. And so, husbands, consider the way you lead and the way you love your wife. Because we bear the responsibility for her sin when you place a stumbling block before her. Submission, wives, is your obligation. It's not your husband's reward. That must convict our wives, but it must convict us, that we might strive more and more to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Well, this is a rather robust description of submission. There's more to be said to define it, and there are more things to talk about in certain difficult circumstances. But I think we need to turn at this point to the next thing that Peter calls us to understand, and that's the subject of winning husbands. Submission may be hard because of your circumstances, but Peter leaves you more than a command here. He doesn't say, go submit to your husband and then go sit in a dark room and think happy thoughts to deal with it. Rather, what he does is he gives wives insight into the glory of your role in marriage. And quite frankly, you need to see this, that it is the glory of your role in the kingdom of God. Submission may cost you much, but here's the deal. It can heal your marriage by winning your husband. If you have a difficult marriage, a difficult husband to love and honor and respect, you need to listen to the scriptures and listen to Christ instead of the world, because the very last thing that you think you need to do is the very thing that Christ uses to win your husband and to heal your marriage. Let's consider that wives have an important purpose in the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus Christ transforms lives through his sacrifice for sinners. And that's the answer to our disunity, to war, to the problems that we have in our world. And he uses the gospel ministry for that, the preaching of the gospel. But we need to understand that Christ also uses other means as well. And wives, one of those means is the piety of the Christian woman toward her husband. See, Christ has given you an important role in his witness to the world. You may not be a public figure on the radio or TV or in a pulpit or in a business, but you are on the front lines in a function that Christ finds valuable. And it's especially helpful as you are married to unbelieving or straying or backsliding husbands. Listen to our passage again. Wives, submit to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Do you see this here? Peter is giving you more than a command. He's actually giving you hope. If your problem is an unbelieving husband, and your desire is to win him over, Christ may use your obedience to evangelize him. If your husband is caught in sin, Christ may use your obedience to win him over. Christ gives wives this amazing influence over their husbands, so trust him to use it. Wives, you often don't understand the power you have over your husbands, the influence you have in your lives. So use it for God's glory. Use it and trust Christ to use it. Don't try to break the spirit of your husbands and make him a weak and passive man so that you can control your life. Rather, seek glory. Seek what God would have your husband to become. The goal is to win a strong and obedient, a loving and a leading husband. The goal is to see Christ convert and sanctify your husband so that he will love you like Christ loves you. So think about submission rather than some oppressive, belittling duty. Think about submission as your important purpose in God's kingdom. And win your husband to follow Christ by being a submissive wife, the very submissive wife that God has called you to be. And win your husband without a word. Our wives are a great blessing to us, especially when they can encourage us from the scriptures. Sometimes our wives see us when we're down and no one else knows what's going on. And in that vulnerable place, it's wonderful when your wife can come and say, hey, remember what Christ said in the Word. Remember God's sovereignty. Remember His promises. But not all husbands want to hear this. Sometimes your husband may ridicule you. Sometimes he may reject the Word of God. Sometimes he may even forbid you from even talking about Christ. And the temptation at that point is to feel defeated and hopeless. Like, how can he ever learn if I can't talk to him about Jesus? But what Peter calls you to do is to remember that your life is a powerful witness to your husband, to win him for Christ. In verse 2, Peter explained that husbands may be won by your conduct when they see your pure behavior with reverence to him. By God's grace, according to his perfect wisdom and his perfect timing, you may win your husband without a word. And notice that Christ gives you two powerful tools to influence your husband. They're not an eloquent tongue. They're not an iron will. The first is purity, and the second is reverence to God. Show Christ to your husband by the way you live. Submit to him out of reverence to Christ. Love him with sincerity. Don't put your husband down to your friends and family. Rather, guard your tongue. Try to lift him up. Try to always represent him well. And give yourself to holiness in every part of life. Then your husband will see a picture of Christ. He'll see a picture of Christ's love for the church in you and your humble love for him and submission to him. And when you love him because you love Christ, and he will know that, your life will actually be real evidence of Christ's saving power without a word. Your life will demonstrate how Christ in the gospel and his spirit can take a sinner and transform him or her. Women, the influence of your life is so powerful. And so don't focus on your own difficult circumstances. I know it's real. I know it's hard. I know it's a trial that really lasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But seek comfort in Christ. As Paul says, think of those things that are praiseworthy and would glorify the Lord, and spend your time focusing on him, and spend your time doing what God calls you to do, and embrace that calling Christ gives to you. It's like if you are married to an unbelieving husband, if you are married to a husband who is backsliding in sin, you are a front lines missionary. And Christ may use you to win your husbands. Or Christ may use you as a stone that sharpens him and helps him to grow in sanctification. It doesn't take eloquent speech. Rather, it takes faith that Christ will work through your witness as he has promised. And Peter calls you to win them without a word. One of the most striking examples of this is Augustine's mother, Monica. I included in your bulletin that chapter in which Augustine wrote about his mother's love and submission and her character. In the beginning, he reveals that the difficulties of a wife in the 4th century Roman society. She was given to her husband, and he was a normal pagan husband. He beat her. He committed adultery. He verbally abused her and grew angry. And under those circumstances that are far more harsh than anyone really, I think, here faces, especially because of the society that would not deal with this sin, Monica turned to Christ. And later on, after her husband was converted, her friends learned how he had lived. And they were shocked. They never knew that he abused her. They never knew that he defiled her marriage bed. They never knew anything other than that she loved her husband and cared for him. And that the challenge here and the hard truth is this witness that women have over their husbands, this influence, it doesn't happen instantaneously. If you're in your mid-20s, you may have to wait more than 5 years. You may have to wait at the end of your life. But according to God's will and according to Christ's wonderful grace, he may win him over. And so Augustine wrote, finally, Monica's own husband, toward the end of his earthly existence, did she gain over to thee. And she had not to complain of that in him as one of the faithful, which before he became so, she had endured. She prayed and she waited. The Lord gave her strength, and the Lord answered her prayer, and she died, an equally yoked woman, in a wonderful Christian marriage. The Lord here doesn't promise to do this work in every marriage, in every one of your lives, but he promises that this is a means that he works through which he works and converts and ministers. And so, even if the Lord doesn't hear that prayer, know that you glorify him by his faithful servants throughout your lives. In conclusion, I want us all to recognize that marriage was broken by our sin. Our sinful nature, it resists the roles that God gave us in marriage, and really every role in life. And as a result, the calling of the Christian wife is hard and it is painful. But the only remedy for marriage is the grace of God. And the only way that you can submit to your husband with the purity and reverence that God calls you to is through faith in Christ. Peter wrote in verses 24 and 25 that Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin. And that we might live to righteousness. He wrote, by his wounds you have been healed. And so you need to believe these things. Christ's sacrifice paid the price for our sin. And Christ perfectly obeyed the Father on our behalf. So there's no guilt anymore, even when you fall. And so in Christ alone, you can find grace to be that wife that you've been called to be. Husbands can find grace to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And no matter what the will of God is for you, Christ will not leave you or forsake you. And as he transforms your life to be more like him, and as he transforms our marriages, he will use our witness to transform others in the church, and to draw the lost to himself through us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would apply your word to us, instruct our hearts and minds. We pray that you would bless our marriages, be with our wives, give them grace to serve you, and be with us as husbands, that we might repent of our sins, and that we might honor and love our wives as Christ loved the church. Father, these truths are hard to receive and even harder to put into practice, but we ask that your Spirit would do that in our lives. We pray all these things in Christ's precious name and for his glory and the glory of his bride, the church. Amen.